Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for The Athletic, Forbes, Inside Football, Sports Exchange, Big Blue View, and a bunch of other places. And today is Wednesday, which means it's time for another crossover show. And on the line with me, I have Gino Camilleri, who is one of the co-hosts of Locked On Eagles, and he's going to help me break down the Eagles, whom the Giants visit this weekend down in Philadelphia. Gino, welcome to the program.
Hi, Patty. It's a pleasure to be on with you, and I don't have as long as a resume in the journalist world as you do, but yes, as you said, I am the co-host with myself and Lou DiBiase for Locked On Eagles. It's a pleasure to meet you and talk some interdivision rivalry game coming up on Sunday.
And likewise, it's a pleasure to meet you as well. And so let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the matchup. Now, you know, these two teams met earlier in the year, and the Eagles basically spanked the Giants again. What has changed with the Eagles since the last time these two teams met?
Oh, a lot. After that Giants game, everybody from the fans, the organization, we thought we really turned the corner and we're getting back to that 2017 form that we so coveted at coming off a Super Bowl. Everybody had high expectations for this team, but we stumbled out of the gates, had a couple bad losses late in games, went to play the Giants, really put our foot on the gas there, got the offense clicking, defense played well, but after that, it's just been a wreck. I assume everybody saw that embarrassing game at 4:25 last Sunday against the Saints. I mean, didn't really expect much in that game, but Carson Wentz didn't play well. The defense played atrocious. People are calling for the head of our offensive coordinator. It's getting very bad, and things are looking somber and downtrodden for the once happy Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Now, you guys also have some injuries. I saw where I think most of the defensive secondary is missing because of injury, and I think you have a guy who, you know, no guy has been on that starting unit for what, 2 weeks in a row, I think I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hit that right on the head. We started the season with our four starters, Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills at the corner position, Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod at safety, and out of those four, Malcolm Jenkins currently remains. We're down to our fifth, sixth, and seventh starter. Fifth, sixth, and seventh corner, pardon, to Cravon LeBlanc, Devontae Bousby, and a whole list of other guys who we just signed off the street. And you saw it last week when you have Michael Thomas and good wide receivers. They just lit them up. And going into the Giants game, we shouldn't be too confident with Odell Beckham on the other side of the ball. We've seen fits with him and Sterling Shepard in that quick passing game. So that's one matchup that I like in favor of the Giants. It's been very, very bad and just unacceptable in the soft tissue injury department. We have the list goes on and on for injuries on both sides of the football. Mike Wallace went down early in the year. Our middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks, probably is going to miss this game. Avante Maddox, who went out with an injury, he was another corner slash safety. He went down. He's week to week. Roswell Douglas, who is another corner, he might miss this game. So you might be looking at 6th, 7th, and 8th corners going up against a premier wide receiver in Odell Beckham and another good wide receiver in Sterling Shepard. And that's not what this Eagles team needs, who is trying to gain back some confidence. So on the defensive side of the ball, it's not looking too well for us.
What about the defensive front, though? I mean, if I remember correctly, the last time these two teams met, your defensive front really got after the Giants' offensive line and after Eli Manning. How is that unit holding up?
Yeah, so the defensive front is probably the best part of our team. We just got Timmy Jernigan off the NFI, the non-football injury list. He was a big part of our Super Bowl winning team last year. Him and Fletcher Cox on the interior were very, very, produced very, very well last year. On the edge, we went, Derek Barnett went down with an injury earlier in the year, so you won't see him this time around, but I have a statistic here from John Kinsley on Twitter, and through week 11, the Eagles have produced the most quarterback hits at 83 in the NFL, and the narrative around Philadelphia is that the front is not hitting home, which is completely a false narrative, and you saw that when we played the Giants the last time. I think if they're going to come out and compete, it has to be with that front four. You have a healthy Timmy Jernigan back. Fletcher Cox is always dominant, and the Giants' offensive line, we'll call a spade, they aren't world beaters, so if they want to come out on top, they're not going to get any help from their secondary, so they really have to hit home in that front four.
The Giants' offensive line, of course, looking a lot different from the last time I think you guys saw. Jamon Brown stepping in at right guard, settled it down. The Giants, when did they play the Eagles the first time? It was week, I know it was a Thursday night game. It wasn't too long ago, right? It
was that week five or six, if I'm not mistaken?
It was week, let me see, one, two, three, four, five, six, week six.
Six, yep.
So, you know, Patrick Omame, I think, was in the lineup at that time.
Correct. He's, yep.
You know, Jamon Brown has replaced him. Eric Flowers was long gone. I think Chad Wheeler was the right tackle. And then I can't remember if the center was John Greco at the time. I think John Greco was the center, been replaced by Spencer Pulley. The Giants' interior offensive line, a lot better. They are now a strength of that unit, which, you know, I think makes for a really good matchup between Jernigan and Cox.
Yeah, so the way you talked about it, I was very, very happy with the matchups we were going into the last game. I know Omame. I studied film on him last year, and he wasn't the greatest interior offensive lineman. As you can see, that he isn't even on the team anymore. But yeah, I like to see Fletcher Cox have premier matchups, and I like when interior offensive lines can double team him, and he could still have success against them. So, the way it sounds, Pulley and Brown have really shored up your interior offensive line. I'm more interested in on the edge against Nate Solder. I always think that's a good matchup. We saw him in the Super Bowl last year. We saw him earlier this year. How has he been holding up in that department since we last played you guys?
He's been shaky. He's been getting a little bit better. You know, something that a lot of people don't mention when they look at Nate Solder is they don't talk about that big apparatus he has on one of his arms. So, you know, obviously he's healthy enough to play. He's healthy enough to not be on the injury report. But yet if you watch him, you go back and you look at the film from last week, you can't miss it. It's a huge thing that he has on his arm, and it's all taped together. So you wonder what exactly is going on there. But Nate Solder has, you know, he's had his struggles, as has Chad Wheeler. But last week, the Giants were able to, you know, the pass protection's been better. I know they gave up, I think, four sacks last week, but two of them were, one was a coverage sack, and the other one, I think Eli Manning's foot got stuck in the turf and he fell down. So it was more or less a tag, you're it type of deal. So, you know, progress is being made. It's slow, but it's coming along, and hopefully it holds up, because quite honestly, you know, the thought of facing, you know, the Eagles edge rushers, it's worrisome.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in Eli, he's definitely not having the greatest year of his career, but it's something, it's going to be intriguing, because the secondary, I know the Giants in the past like to get that quick passing game against us. I know last year, I think Eli was getting out under like 2.3 seconds, which was an astronomical rate. So for corners, as in Cravon LeBlanc, who you haven't even heard of until last week if you watched the Eagles game, these guys aren't going to be able to match up in man coverage. It's not going to happen. So if you guys can settle in, get that quick passing game going, and develop that play action with Saquon and just give him the ball, even with eight-man boxes, I think you guys can have a lot of success on offense. I don't think this is going to be a defensive matchup by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's going to be a relatively higher scoring game. I think the Giants have the ability to score on us. I do not like our secondary. Nobody likes our secondary. Drew Brees outright embarrassed us. Even Taysom Hill, when he had the ball in his hand, who's mostly a special teams player, really took advantage of our secondary. Guys can't even get their head around to the ball, and the thought of going up against Odell Beckham, who could catch anything within a 15-foot radius, it seems like, not the greatest matchup going into this game.
All right, we're going to take a short break to hear from some sponsors, and then we're going to come back and continue breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles, who are up next on the Giants' schedule, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, and I have Gino Camilleri with me. He is the co-host over at Locked On Eagles, and he's breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles, whom the Giants will visit on Sunday down at the Link. And we've been talking a little bit about the matchups, Giants offense, about the Eagles defense. You mentioned Saquon Barkley in that last, you know, the first segment, and I'd like to expand on that a little bit more. Last week, we saw the effect that Barkley has, not just as a runner, not just as a receiver, but just how his mere presence kind of opens things up, because it discourages teams now from bringing, you know, eight men down in the box. You know, they have to respect his speed as a potential receiver and whatnot. How do you see the Eagles playing Saquon Barkley?
I think that's funny that you brought that up, because Jim Schwartz, our defensive coordinator, mentioned that in his press conference today, that he thought that after the Eagles played the Giants, that Pandora's box opened for how they utilized him in their game plan, that they just got him much more involved over the last couple weeks. And that's a scary thought, because you saw how he broke off a couple of the big runs that last game. He rushed for over 100 yards. I know that in the passing game, he's lethal, but I think they're going to have to try and load the box against him, try and keep our safeties back, just because we're limited at linebacker. But right now, on paper, I think you guys have the advantage, because if you put Barkley out in the slot, or you line him up out of the backfield to go in into the flat, say, we're going to have to drop down Malcolm Jenkins, who is our best cover safety, maybe even our best coverage player on the field come Sunday. So if you can utilize him just to be a presence to garner the attention of Malcolm Jenkins, you're going to open up the field for everybody else. I think if the Giants are smart in this game, they're not going to try to feature Saquon as much. Of course, he's going to be a threat. He always is a threat. He's on pace to win Rookie of the Year if he had maybe a better team, a better offense. But I think you want to open it up outside of the numbers this game. Get the ball downfield, really exploit that weakness the Eagles have at corner, because I do think they're going to try and get Saquon out of the game plan completely, because we saw how much of a mess and a headache he caused us the last time. So Jim Schwartz, as stubborn as he is, he does learn from his mistakes in these division games. So hopefully they can come in, keep him subdued somehow. I still expect him to rush maybe 75 yards and have all purpose close to 150, if not 200 yards, because this Eagles defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. They cannot tackle, and a guy who churns his legs as much as Saquon does and does not go down at first contact, you could see a few yards after contact come Sunday.
Wow, that's amazing, the turnaround, and how quickly the Eagles just seem to have deteriorated since the first meeting. You know, speaking of you know, offense and whatnot, I want to talk a little bit about Carson Wentz and the challenges that he's faced. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Eagles have had some injuries to their running game, so they don't really have a running game, and so that has pretty much left it all up to Wentz to move the ball and, you know, do the damage that, you know, otherwise a running game would help balance out. I mean, how has he responded to that, and what can teams do to kind of, you know, keep him off of his game?
Yeah, it's real unfortunate, because you see these young quarterbacks in the league right now that have great running backs behind them. You saw last night in that Monday Night Football game that set historic records. Look at Todd Gurley behind Jared Goff and Kareem Hunt behind Patrick Mahomes. Carson Wentz doesn't have that. Right now we're down to Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, who's not himself, not the player he was last year, and undrafted free agent in Josh Adams, who's been the most productive running back, who at most has not seen the ball more than 15 times. So that has left the burden on Carson Wentz's shoulders. There's an article that came out, I think it was Pro Football Talk maybe, that Sean Payton said in his game plan he does not think Carson Wentz can bear the burden and carry an offense, which is true to an extent. Carson Wentz is a very good quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback, but he cannot take the burden and win the game himself. If you watch him and watch his tape, there's two different Carson Wentz. There's one that presses, much like his 2016 rookie self, that takes the burden himself, will overthrow passes, force the ball into double coverage, throw interceptions, not really get into a rhythm with his receivers. And then there's the 2017 version of Carson Wentz, which we haven't seen too much of this year, that gets into a rhythm with Zach Ertz, gets into a rhythm with Alshon Jeffrey, gets into a hurry-up offense, can really exploit zones, and it's just been a downfall this year without the running game, without a field stretching wide receiver, in which we had Torrey Smith last year. Mike Wallace was supposed to step in and take that role, but he went down in an injury in the second game. So Carson Wentz is going back to the 2016 version of himself, where he's pressing the football. He's throwing it into double coverage. He's not reading after post-snap linebackers. He's thrown the same interception three times on the same coverage this year, if you go back and watch it. He's done it to Luke Kuechly. He did it last week. He's just really forcing balls, which is very unfortunate because Eagles fans right now are in a tiff about Carson Wentz, which I find crazy, because if you look around the NFC East, we currently, in my opinion, have the best quarterback situation. So on Sunday, they should try to get him into a rhythm, get the ball in space with Golden Tate, get him into a rhythm with Zach Ertz, try and establish some sort of running game, because I tweeted out a statistic the other day. When Carson is forced to throw 40 or more times in a game, he's 2-10. When he's not forced to throw 40 times a game, he's 19-6. So you really have to get the ball out quick, give him some sort of running game, as hard as that's going to be, because in reality, he can't throw it 40-plus times a game. And against a Giants team who you put a pretty good whooping on the last time, you really have to settle into what you did in that game, look at that game plan, and do the exact same thing. Because if they've been doing what they did the last couple weeks, I don't expect this game to be close, and I think the Giants could run away with it.
Now, one player on the Eagles offense that scares me, only because, you know, I've seen what the Giants have done against this particular position, is the tight end, and that would be Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, Zach Ertz did some damage against that Giants defense the first time around. The Giants cover linebackers, you know, not very good. You know, a couple weeks ago, you saw Landon Collins having to cover 49ers tight end George Kittle, you know, on some occasions, and that didn't always work out. I mean, how do you view the matchup of Ertz versus the Giants defense?
I think the thing with Zach Ertz is he is on pace to have historic records. He did have a great game against the Giants, and I do enjoy seeing that battle with Landon Collins, but the thing with him is, we've relied so much on Zach Ertz that teams have just figured out to cut him off. I mean, the Saints last week just completely took him out of the game plan. So if you can manage to take him out of the game plan, Carson Wentz's favorite target in short area situations, 3rd and 5, you're going to see a curl flat to him. In the red zone, you're going to see the same thing. He likes to sit in intermediate zones. So if you could bracket coverage him with a corner and a safety, as in Landon Collins and maybe a Janoris Jenkins even, if you have to, you can get him out of the game plan and make the outside receivers, who have been struggling to create separation the last couple weeks, if you could put the burden on their shoulders and take away Zach Ertz, I think the Giants could win that matchup. But Zach Ertz has been so dominant. He would have had a good game last week if he was not held as much as he was, but that's not an excuse. I think that is the matchup they have to exploit again. The Giants, you got rid of Eli Apple, so you are down a corner. I do like Landon Collins as a coverage safety, but as you saw against George Kittle and Zach Ertz earlier in the year, it hasn't been his best year in coverage, so I expect him to have a big game, maybe 8 catches, 80 yards or so, and get Carson to a rhythm. I think the most important thing coming out of this game is to start getting a couple first downs. They've settled for a lot of 3-and-outs early in games, so they're going to try and rely on a guy who Carson Wentz is most comfortable in throwing the ball to. So Zach Ertz, once again, he should have a big game on Sunday.
You're listening to Locked On Giants. It's the crossover show with Locked On Eagles co-host Gino Camilleri. We're going to take our final break, come back, and wrap up the show with some more breakdown from Gino on the Philadelphia Eagles. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans. You're with Patricia Traina, Locked On Giants, joined by Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, and we are breaking down the Eagles, who are up next on the New York Giants schedule as they look to make it 3 in a row coming out of the bye week. And Gino, you know, we've been breaking down the different matchups and really some interesting stuff. It's amazing just how different the Eagles are, you know, just from just a few weeks ago, the defending Super Bowl champions. It sounds like they've got a lot of issues. If there's one thing that really, really concerns you most about this matchup with the Giants on Sunday, what would that be?
Yeah, I think I said it in the first segment. I really think it's your premier wide receiver in Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard. And I don't even think we saw Evan Ingram the last game. So if you can start getting those guys out on the perimeter and just forcing the ball down our throats, I think it could get out of hand. I don't really think we can stop anybody. If they get back to that those two 2017 game plans that you guys played against us, where you got the ball out quick, got some quick slants, we haven't been able to tackle anybody the last couple weeks. I mean, you could throw out a tackling dummy, and I don't even think these guys could stop them at this point. So the cornerbacks against your good wide receivers really scare me. If Saquon gets into space, I don't think there's anybody outside of Malcolm Jenkins that could take him down. With our best tackling linebacker and Jordan Hicks being out this game, if you can get him into that middle part of the field and really control that middle part of the field, I think it's going to open up a lot on the outside for you guys. Eli Manning still is going to go into the Hall of Fame. He still can make throws when he's called upon. So if you could exploit our young corners who have barely been on the team for more than a month, I think it could get out of hand very quickly. And I don't love that the Eagles are favored by 7 points. I don't think they should be favored against anybody at the current rate that they are playing. So the Eagles' home field advantage has taken a hit. They haven't won at home in the last three games, which is crazy because last season they absolutely dominated at home. It, like you said, the defending Super Bowl champions, you shouldn't be dealing with the problems that they're dealing with. But come Sunday, we'll really figure out who this team is, because there's a lot of questions if they quit after last Sunday, if the coaching staff needs to be changed up a little bit. So for a Giants team that's on a two-game win streak, looking for their third, looking to instill some confidence in their fan base, I think this could be a game that Eagles fans should not sleep on and should not expect to come and blow the doors off of the Giants.
Wow, that is so amazing. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that Eagle fans and just the general vibe coming out of there was just so, you know, upbeat. And it's amazing what a few weeks have done to this team. You know, another area, you know, we didn't talk about, and I do want to address it, because the Giants have struggled in this area, and that's the pass rush. You know, Carson Wentz, you know, I know there was some concern earlier in the season about his mobility, especially coming off the torn ACL and getting back in there and whatnot. The Giants' pass rush has been absolutely invisible. I think they had one sack last week, no sacks, I think, the week before. Their premier pass rusher, Olivier Vernon, he's been dealing with that ankle injury. Even though he's back and he hasn't been listed on the injury report, he just doesn't look the same. You can see that ankle is still bothering him. How do you like the matchup between the Eagles' offensive line and the Giants' pass rush?
Well, right now we have two tackles in Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, who at 100% are both potential Hall of Famers. Jason Peters, a surefire Hall of Famer. Lane Johnson could potentially be a Hall of Famer. They're both pro bowlers, both all pros. But when they're operating at 65 to 70%, which both of them are, Jason Peters has a torn bicep. His knees are always out of whack. Lane Johnson is dealing, basically playing on one leg. He has a high ankle sprain in his right leg, also tore his MCL. So currently, I'm not too confident in this team. Carson Wentz has been hit, I think, the fourth most in the NFL right now, which is not great for a young quarterback who's coming off of a major ACL injury. But the good thing about that is, if they start to implement rolling Carson outside of the pocket, Carson has, I think, the fourth or fifth best QBR when he's outside of the pocket. And when he can develop plays and let routes develop when he's inside the pocket, that's when he operates at his best. He starts to force when the pressure gets to him. He thinks he sees an open route, doesn't really see the safety come over the top. If you saw last week, he thought he had an open man in Nelson Agholor. Marshawn Lattimore comes out across the field, throws it into double coverage. So if Carson has time to sit back, which I don't think he will with the way this offensive line is playing, like you said, there's so many problems with this team, and not many people thought it was going to be like this. But in reality, it is upsetting to see how bad Carson Wentz is getting hit. Olivier Vernon, he always creates problems for us one way or another, especially against two tackles that are operating at, I'd say, 70% right now. I think if the Giants were to wake up in the pass rush, this could be the game. But if Carson does have time, if they do roll him out of the pocket, which they should, because right now he's getting absolutely clobbered in the pocket, I think he could start to get a rhythm going. He has to step up this week and really cement himself as the guy, because there's a lot of questions on him right now. Personally, I don't put any of the onus on him, but a lot of people are. So I think he's going to try and do the best he can. Regardless of the pass rush, he's going to always be Carson Wentz and always try to extend the play, always try to break tackles. But Olivier Vernon, I think he can create some havoc. No Snacks Harrison anymore. I think they're going to try and get the run game going, maybe try and work at the middle of the field and try to avoid Vernon altogether, especially at the rate this offensive line is producing.
And don't forget, the Giants have a young guy by the name of Lorenzo Carter who's been coming on. That kid's been able to generate some pressure.
Yeah, I like what I've seen out of him so far. But yeah, like you said, they've been invisible, and law of averages, it's only a matter of time before they wake up.
Yeah, and what better time to wake up than, you know, against a division rival with an opportunity, especially to make, you know, to move up in the division. So before we wrap it up, how about giving me your prediction? How do you see this game playing out?
Like I said earlier, I think it's going to be high scoring. I don't think either defense is going to be able to really do much, especially with the Eagles' young corners that they have. I think the Giants, they need a quick-hitting passing game, can really get that going. Odell Beckham. He's one of the top five receivers in the NFL right now. I think it's going to be 31-28 or 27 Eagles when it's all said and done. I think it might come down to the final drive. But the Eagles really need this game. The fan base needs it. The link is going to be rocking, because everybody knows, as bleak as the season is looking, they still have a chance to make the playoffs with Alex Smith going down. The Cowboys really haven't cemented themselves at the top of the NFC East. I think the Eagles pull it out in the end, but I think it's a lot closer than many people are going to expect.
All right. So before we call it a show, tell everybody where they can find your work.
Yeah, so you could catch me on Twitter at @Gino_LOE. That's @Gino_LOE. You could catch my co-host Lou DiBiase at @DiBiaseLOE on Twitter. And you could follow Locked On Eagles on Twitter at Locked On Birds. It's not Locked On Eagles. You will go to the wrong Twitter account if you go there. So at Locked On Birds. And you can catch us Apple, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Come check us out. Just get some good insight for a division foe, especially one that you might beat up on Sunday.
All right. On that note, want to thank you for coming on. Make sure you check out the Locked On Birds podcast. I'll be on, and I'll be breaking down the Giants for their listeners. And as always, Giant fans, appreciate you listening. Patricia Traina signing off.